Well, good morning and welcome those who are here thus far as we come to worship this morning. I do have apologies from Patrick. He phoned me yesterday. Both he and Jaden are quite poorly. I don't know if it's a cold or if it's flu, but Patrick sounded terrible. So please do remember that family in your prayers. If Patrick and Jaden are already infected, there's a high chance it will spread around the rest of the family. So remember them in your prayers as they're both poorly today. As we come to worship this morning, this is Mothering Sunday, of course, so we're doing things a little differently. A short service over here, then over to the hall where we will have refreshments and where we will also have the Mothering Sunday plants for children and the young people to give to their mums. So that's later on. But now we begin with some words from the psalmist. And in Psalm 33 we read, "Sing joyfully to the Lord, you righteous. It is fitting for the upright to praise him. Praise the Lord with the harp. Make music to him on the ten-stringed lyre. Sing to him a new song. Play skillfully and shout for joy. For the word of the Lord is right and true. He is faithful in all he does. The Lord loves righteousness and justice. The earth is full of his unfailing love. We wait in hope for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. In him our hearts rejoice, for we trust in his holy name. May your unfailing love be with us, Lord, even as we put our hope in you." Let's pray together, shall we? Lord, we praise and we thank you that you are our Lord and our God, our Saviour and our King. We thank you, Lord, that we have moved now into spring and we see the flowers coming up and we see the temperatures just beginning to lift a little bit. And we see, Lord, that the seasons are moving on as the trees begin to come into blossom and into leaf. And Lord, we thank you that the times and the seasons are in your control, that all that happens is within your knowledge and understanding. And Lord, we thank you that we too are under your wing, that we are those who you look upon with love and compassion. As we come to you this morning, we do remember Patrick and Jaden, as they're not very well today, and others, Lord, who are not well and who are struggling with health issues that may be ongoing. Lord, we pray for them and ask for your healing on them. And Lord, we thank you for Mothering Sunday. We thank you, Lord, for a day when we can thank you for the people that you bring into our lives, as well as thanking you for the church that we are part of. So, Lord, we praise and thank you for all your goodness and all your tender mercy. And we pray that in all that we do and are today, in all that we sing and say, we will bring glory and honour and praise to your name. And through the power of your Spirit, we will know your blessing and your joy. Amen. Our first song this morning is on the DVD, and it's the song Made Me Glad. If you're able to, please stand, and if you want a tambourine, please help yourself to one. Please sit down. Now Shirley's going to bring us the notices for the coming week.
Good morning everyone and welcome to our Mothering Sunday service. The service will actually conclude over in the hall. So when the time comes, if you can all make your way over into the hall where there will be closing prayers and the distribution of flowers. We've also hope we have a time of fellowship. And there are some crafts, if you want to take part, you can. So when the time comes, if you can, make your way over into the hall, and the service will conclude over there. Right, Wednesday, it's our prayer, praise and Bible study at 8 o'clock in the foyer, but refreshments are available from 7:30. Next Sunday morning, 10:30, Sue will again be leading our worship. And a reminder to church members that Tuesday the 19th of March is a members' meeting, 7:45. So if you cannot make it, can you let Sue and I know? That's the 19th of March. It's a Tuesday at 7:45. The church diaries for March are available. Please take one, because it does have our Easter extra services on there. And I'll just draw your attention to Maundy Thursday in the evening at 7 o'clock in the hall. We have a supper and communion time. It's just a simple supper of soup and roll, followed by communion, as we do remember Jesus sitting down with his disciples for that last meal. We will probably be asking you if you can come, mainly for catering purposes. But that is on the 28th, Maundy Thursday, supper and communion. But all the dates are in the March diary, so please take one. If I've forgotten anything.
But I'm just going to elaborate slightly on something, because next week is an ordinary Sunday, communion Sunday. The Sunday after is Palm Sunday, so we're approaching Easter. When we get, as Shirley said, beyond Palm Sunday, we have the Maundy Thursday, supper, soup and a roll, and then communion on the Thursday. We have no Bible study on the Wednesday. And on the Good Friday, we have a morning service at 10:30. That's followed by a walk of witness with other churches up to Chadwell Heath Baptist for a service, short service, open air, hopefully, up there. And then on Easter Sunday, you will see in the diaries that we have our morning service at 10:30. We have also an evening communion on Easter Sunday. That is the communion we would normally have at the beginning of April. We've moved it back a week so that we can share communion on Easter Sunday. But also on that day, this is advance notice for you, two things happen. The first thing that happens is that the clocks go forward. I say the first thing because that technically happens in the early hours of the morning. So on Easter Sunday, you will have put your clocks forward. Otherwise, you will be very early for everything. I think that's the right way around. Also on Easter Sunday morning, there is a sunrise service. It's at Eastbrook End Country Park. It starts this year at 6:30 in the morning. Obviously, it varies according to when sunrise is. But 6:30 in the morning, different churches will meet together at the Millennium Centre at Eastbrook End, and we will have a very short service to welcome Easter Day as the sun rises and as we think about the sun who has risen. So that's just a date that isn't in your diary that you will know of now that I've mentioned it, so that you've got advance warning of the things that take place around Easter. Also today, we do just want to wish a very happy birthday for this coming week to David. So happy birthday, David. It's his birthday this week. And a happy birthday to Shirley. It's her birthday this week as well. So happy birthday to both of you. We're now going to have our Bible reading, and Lola's going to bring us our Bible reading. And today that reading comes from 2 Timothy chapter 1. Verses 1 to 14, if you want to use the church Bibles, you can find it on page 1195 in the church Bibles.
2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 1 to 14. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, in keeping with the promise of life that is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dear son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve as my ancestor did, with a clear conscience, as night and day I constantly remember you in my prayers. Recalling your tears, and I long to see you so that I may be filled with joy. I am reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother, Louis, and in your mother, Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you, through the laying of my hands. For the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but give us power, love, and self-discipline. So do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord or of his prisoner. Rather, join with me in suffering for the gospel by the power of God. He has saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. This grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time, but it has now been revealed through the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who has destroyed death and has brought life and immortality to light through gospel. And of this gospel I was appointed a herald and an apostle and a teacher. That is why I am suffering as I am. Yet this is no cause for shame, but because I know whom I have believed, and I am convinced that he is able to guide what I have entrusted to him until that day. What you heard from me, keep as a pattern of sound teaching, with faith and love in Christ Jesus. Guide the good deposit that was entrusted to you. Guide it with the help of the Holy Spirit who lives in us. Amen.
Such a little book of the Bible, 2 Timothy. Such a short letter, and yet it has some important things within it. And in that particular passage, I'm always struck by that hymn, "I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day." But actually it's a personal letter, this letter. It's also for people to know and hear and understand, but it's a letter written from Paul to Timothy. Paul had been arrested again, and he had a preliminary trial, a hearing, and he expects that when he has the second part of that, he will be condemned to death. So he is in a very difficult situation. He's basically waiting to have the legal pronouncements made, and he thinks that they will say that he will have to be executed. Paul is writing to Timothy to tell Timothy that there is a task ahead of him, and also to invite Timothy to leave the work at Ephesus and to travel to Rome to see him, because Paul is there in Rome with Luke. Paul's in prison. He's got Luke with him, but he's got nobody else, and Timothy is invited to come and join them. And Paul will urge Timothy to keep on being faithful, keep on being committed as he gets ready to travel to Rome. Families come in all shapes and sizes. Families are all different. This is my two grandmothers. The grandmother on the left, this side, is my mum's mum. Her name was Lottie, and she came from the northeast of England. The grandmother on this side, her name was Annie. And she originated in the East End of London from a Cornish family, and then moved out to Romford. These are my two grannies. Both of them were, I was about, I suppose, 10 when this photo was taken. So they were older grandmothers, because my parents were older when they had my sister and I. But these are my two grannies. And there are things that I have learnt from my grannies, even though my granny, who is this one, she died when I was just 10. And my grandma died when I was 23. But there are things I know because for a while I had them in my life. Our grandma on the left, she lived with us. So I knew a lot of things from her because she lived with us. Sadly, my grandma had a breakdown, nervous breakdown they called it in those days. So I didn't know her as the laughing, good-humoured person of her younger years. I only knew her after that had taken place. But she was the one who lived with us, and my other granny was very, very good at making things. She made the apron that she's wearing. She made dresses for us when we were little. She could sew out of a remnant of fabric. She could make all sorts of things. In fact, this apron that she's wearing has probably been made out of bits of fabric that she bought cheap and sewed together. That's my two grannies. And from my two grandmothers, I learned all sorts of things. But families come in all shapes and sizes. In my family, I didn't really know my granddads at all. One died when I was about 3, and the other when I was about 4, and I don't remember them at all. So, in my family, it was my grandmothers I remember, not my grandfathers. And I was fortunate enough to have a mum and a dad who lived to a good age in life, and who I had for many, many years, and one sister. Never had a brother. Not sure if that's a good thing or a bad thing. Those of you with brothers, put up your hand if you think having a brother's a good thing. Yes? Oh, I think on the whole, having a brother's a good thing. Put up your hand, if you dare, if you think having a brother's not a good thing. Perhaps sometimes in life, having a brother's not a good thing. Sometimes it is a good thing. And likewise, having sisters. I'm sure there's those here who've got sisters, excuse me, who sometimes think having sisters is great, and who sometimes think having sisters is a real pain. It goes both ways, whether you've got brothers or sisters. But our families are all different, aren't they? Some people grow up in families where they don't know their natural mum or their natural dad, where they grow up with a foster or an adoptive mum or dad. Some people grow up where they are living apart from their siblings. Some people grow up brought up by their auntie or by their granny or by their uncle. Some just by one parent and not both. Some with a step-parent in their family. There's all sorts of different families that people grow up in, different kinds of ways. But there is a value of family in every shape and form. In every shape and form. And families teach us things. Who's got anything that they can think of that they have learnt from a member of their family that nobody else seems to do in their household? Yeah, you got something? Hang on, I'll speak into this and then everybody can hear you.
My brother told me that I should always forgive people even though if I'm wrong and they're wrong.
Oh, that's very, very good advice, isn't it? And that came from your brother. Well, I never had a brother to tell me that. Well done. Anything else? My mum always used to say if there was something difficult happening or something worrying, she used to say, it'll get over. That was her phrase, it'll get over. And then you know that, you know, this too will pass, but that was her way of saying it. And I've also learnt from my mum, I think, not to speak very properly in certain ways. I will always say, happy birthday. I rarely say happy birthday, because where my mum came from, they've got an accent and they say things differently. And some of the things I say differently. You will have learnt, every single one of you, things from the person who looked after you. Maybe it's your brother, maybe it's your mum, maybe it's your granddad. But you will have learnt things from them that are unique to you and your family situation, or unique to you and your siblings. Because families are all different. They might be a little bit the same, but they are also all different. I used to have quite a few families in the church I was at before I came here, who came to the UK in stages, mostly from Jamaica. And one member of the family would come first, and they would get a job, and they would get somewhere to live, and then another member of the family would come next, And then they would gradually send for one child, and then another child, and then another child, as circumstances allowed. And mostly those children were living with grandparents in Jamaica, and then gradually they would come to the UK as the family got established. And in a way, that's what David and Mary have done. David came first and started his job, and then Mary came and joined him later on. And it's another pattern of family, isn't it? Families come in all shapes and forms. There is something we know about Timothy's family. We don't know much about his dad, except that Timothy grew up in a family that was mixed, religiously mixed, and mixed according to nationality as well. His mum was a Jewess. She was Jewish. His dad was Greek. Now, we know nothing about what the family thought about this. A Jewess marrying a Greek man, that would not have gone down very well with her family. A Greek man marrying a Jewess, that might not have gone down very well with his family. But obviously, this unknown man and Timothy's mum fell in love and got married. And we know a little bit about Timothy's mum's name. We don't know much about her, but we know a tiny little bit about her. Because we hear her name, Lois. And we hear that she is someone who has been a really good mum to Timothy. What we don't know is if Timothy has any brothers or sisters. He may have done. He probably does not. Because he seems to be someone who stands alone. Timothy, at the time Paul's writing to him, has in his background, has at some time, he's not very old, Timothy anyway, but he has at some time been living not just with his mum, but with his grandmother as well, like I did, like with my grandma. His grandma and his mum have been living with Timothy and have been a really good influence on Timothy. Because even though Lois was married to a Greek man, we think that he died. And perhaps at that point, her mum Eunice moved in to help with the family. It could have been at any point. We really don't know. But we know that at some point, Timothy was living with his mum and with his grandmother, with Lois and with Eunice, with his grandmother Lois and his mother Eunice. And we know that he was living with these two ladies who were both looking to God because they were Jewish and then came to faith in Jesus Christ. And these two ladies, they had a big influence on young Timothy. These two ladies, they trusted not just in God, but they trusted in Jesus Christ. And because they did, they touched Timothy's life in a most powerful way. Together, Lois, Timothy's grandmother, and Eunice, Timothy's mum, together they encouraged Timothy to grow in faith in Jesus Christ. When I was a little girl, I was sent along to church, sent along to Sunday school with my sister, but taken there, not by my mum or my dad, but by Don and Grace, our neighbours across the road. And they went to church every week, and one day when we were quite small, they said to mum and dad, can we take the girls to Sunday school, afternoon Sunday school? And mum and dad said yes. And we went to Sunday school, and we were very little, went to Sunday school with Don and Grace, and through Sunday school, we came to know Jesus. And actually, my sister and I were baptised before my mum was. We came to a real faith. My mum had some sort of faith, but it was a nominal faith, and later on put her trust in Jesus, fully and wholeheartedly committed herself, and was baptised much after my sister and myself. So we came to know Jesus largely through the influence of Don and Grace. Grace ran one of the smaller younger classes. Don ran the Bible class for the teenagers in Sunday school, and we came to faith through them and through the girls' brigade that we attended. And later on, my mum too was baptised. Families come in all shapes and sizes, but they have a value and they help one another to learn about Jesus, handing things down and helping us understand. And we should be thankful for our families. This is another of my family photos. This is my sister on the end. Her name was Jennifer. She's now Jenny or Jen, but she was Jennifer when she was little. Me, Susan when I was little, not Sue. Susan, I was called. Next to me in the coat is Susan Dexter. And next to Susan Dexter is Jennifer Dexter. So we're two Susans and two Jennifers together. And for those of you who know Essex at all, this is Canvey Island. Susan and Jennifer Dexter lived with their mum and dad across the road from us, just round the corner from us. And Susan and Jennifer's mum and dad decided that they would emigrate. I think they probably went to Australia. I can't quite remember that. And they went to Canvey Island while they were waiting for all their papers to come through. But I don't know if they sold the house that they were living in or if it was rented and they gave up the rent on it. I've got no idea. But they went to Canvey Island while they were waiting for all the paperwork to be done before they emigrated. And there they are. There's Jennifer and Susan waiting there on Canvey Island. We all look a bit cold and a bit wet, even though we're in our summer clothes, which just shows you summers in the UK haven't really changed all that much, despite what they say. But, you know, we can be thankful for all the people who bless our lives. Some people are only in our lives for a short period of time. Susan and Jennifer were our friends for a little while. We went to the same school for a little while. We were neighbours and played together for a little while. And then they disappeared off. And some people are only in our lives for a short period of time. But the time that they are in our lives, they make our lives blessed. In this passage of scripture, even though Paul faces death, in his mind he thinks and is filled with thoughts of the promise of life, as he thinks of Jesus Christ who died and rose again. Jesus Christ who was put to death by the Romans, as Paul expects he will be. And Jesus Christ who rose to life again, as Paul also expects he will be raised to life, not on earth, but in glory, because Jesus has conquered death. And he writes to Timothy as my dear son. That's not because Paul is Timothy's dad. But Paul says, Timothy, you are like family to me. I remember how we cried, how you cried when we parted, when I had to leave you. You are so dear to me. And I am so thankful, Timothy, for all God's work in you. I thank God for you, my dear son Timothy, a member of my great family, because I know that you have been blessed. You have been blessed as I have with the heritage of Judaism and the knowledge of the existence of God. And now, Timothy, you are blessed by faith in Jesus Christ. Faith, a sincere faith, a powerful faith that first lived in your grandmother and your mother and now lives in you. That was there in Lois and in Eunice and is now there in you. And he says, this family I cherish. Not often, I can't think of another incident, does Paul mention somebody's family members by name. Sometimes he says, give greetings to the household of this. Or sometimes he says, I send my greetings to this person and that person. But here he is saying, oh, I'm thankful for you, Timothy. And I'm thankful for your grandmother and your mother. He knows they are a family of faith. And he is thankful for the way that Paul's family showed, Timothy's family showed him Jesus. He's thankful for Grandma Lois. He's thankful for Mum Eunice, who had a sincere faith and had led Timothy, along with Paul, had led him too into faith himself. And they've not just influenced him to faith, they've influenced him to serving Jesus. Timothy is not the bravest person. Paul talks about his timidity. Some of us are like that. We think, oh my goodness, I couldn't do that. Or we think, oh, I don't know if I could stand up and do a Bible reading. Oh, I don't know if I could stand up and say something. Timothy was a bit like that. But Paul said, God has given you a gift. You've got to fan it into flame. When I was a little girl, when I was this age, we had a coal fire in our front room and in our dining room at home. And the fire would be laid. There would be scrunched up newspaper and then coals put on top and a bit more newspaper and a bit more coals. And then when it was lit, it would be lit with a match and the person lighting it would do this. In order to make that little bit of fire that had taken hold of a bit of newspaper, in order to make it grow, they'd give a bit of air to it. And then they would put the piece of paper, usually newspaper, in front of the fire to encourage the air from the chimney to draw the smoke and the fire upwards. And that way, the fire was well lit. When Paul says to Timothy, fan into flame the gift God has given you, he's thinking of that little tiny spark that was on that newspaper and somebody doing this and making the flame grow bigger. That's what fanning into flame is. He's saying, God has given you gifts, Timothy. But the gifts don't grow themselves. They're also called graces. You've been blessed by God with faith and with special gifts, but you need to use them. Even though they're given through the Holy Spirit, you need to fan them into flame and allow them to grow. And Timothy does so. So today, Mothering Sunday, we give thanks for those who show us Jesus' love, those who lead us into faith in Jesus, those who reveal the truth of Jesus to us. They may be in our family, and if you have or have had a mum who loved Jesus, oh, that's a wonderful thing to be thankful for. But let's thank God for all of those who in our lives show us Jesus. And let's remember that we too need to play our part in our families, amongst our friends, in our communities, of showing Jesus through our lives and influencing others for Jesus, fanning into flame the gifts we are given, so that we can be those who bring glory to Jesus by bringing others to know him and to trust him for themselves. Now Pam's going to come and lead us in prayer before we sing our last song before we go over to the hall.
Come on, let's pray. Father God, we come to you this morning, and we are thankful that we have the assurance that you hear our prayers when we pray according to your will and purpose. We pray that by your Holy Spirit we may know the prayers that we should be lifting to you. We bring before you your world. Father, if we were to pray for everything that needs prayer in the world today, we would be here until at least next Sunday. Father, we bring before you Gaza. We pray for the aid that is being arranged. We pray that it may get to the people who need it. We pray for Ukraine and all the suffering that is still going on there, and too amongst the Russian people who are against the war. We pray for Nigeria, for those children and adults that have been plucked from the area Sokoto and Kunga. We pray, Lord, for their safety. We thank you that some were able to escape. Father, We bring the families, the mothers today, and the fathers who are missing their children and so worried for their safety. We pray for Haiti and the gangs and the lawlessness is there and brought about by the bad economic situation. And I want to pray especially for a child that I know is there called Winston, who is 11 years old and has special educational needs. I pray for him that you will keep him and his family safe. Haiti isn't as big as the UK, so anything that goes on in the capital affects most of the country. So, Father, we bring Haiti before you. We pray about the Houthis who are attacking the ships, and we pray for all that is going on there to stop them. Father, we pray for Pakistan with their new government, and we pray, Lord, that you will have mercy on the people there. We pray for the Christians who are there. And there are so many other places, Lord, where your word is not valued. And so, Lord, we pray, Lord, that you will be there amongst the leaders and that you will raise up Christian people, people of faith and integrity in these countries where lawlessness abounds. And Father, what we pray for these other countries, we pray for our own country. We pray for our own government. We pray especially for the Christians in Parliament of all political persuasions. We pray that you will strengthen them. We know that Christians of all parties meet together to pray for the country and for the government. So we lift them up before you, Lord. We pray about the increased numbers of stabbings, especially amongst very, very young boys and girls, children doing harm to other children. We bring them to you, Lord, and we pray that there will be your spirit will come across our country like a wave. We bring our own fellowship here at your church at Becontree Avenue. We bring those before you who especially need our prayers. We pray for Anne in Becontree, Bennett's Castle Lane Nursing Home. We pray that you will be with all who care for her, and we pray that she will be strengthened in mind and body. We pray too for Sue Lucas, who has not been well and is back on antibiotics and steroids at the moment, and we lift her up to you. And also, Father, we pray for Debbie's mum, Elsie, that you will continue to strengthen her. And we pray for Robin's sister-in-law in Pretoria, Tosha, who is recovering from a major surgery. We pray, Lord, that you will be with all these people. And Father, we thank you for answered prayer. We thank you that David Fowler is back with us today. And we pray that you will continue to aid his recovery. We thank you for answers to prayer. We thank you for Susan and Stacy and Emma, my brother Chris, who have all seen improvements in past days. Father, we pray for others who are even today in pain or worried about a loved one. Father, on this Mothering Sunday, those of us who had a loving and caring mother, thank you from the bottom of our hearts. We pray for those who do not have that privilege, who are in families who are sometimes drug addicted or alcohol addicted, children who are neglected. We pray that they, as Sue has been telling us, that somebody may come into their lives who can show them your love. We pray for those who are grieving the loss of a mother. We pray for those who are grieving the loss of a child, born or unborn. We pray for those who are estranged from their mother or their child. We pray for those who have parents or children who live a long way away and they are not able to see them as often as they would like. We pray for those who have a mother or a child in ill health. We pray for those who would love to be mothers, but who are not. We pray for those mothers who have children who are not friends with each other. And we pray for those who have children who have taken the wrong path in life, who are perhaps in prison, and perhaps have done things to their own parents that have brought grief. All these people, Lord, on this Mothering Sunday, we bring to you. We thank you for our fellowship here. We thank you for our church building. We thank you for all who love and care for it. We pray especially for Sue and all that she does for us. And we pray, Lord, that you will continue to lead us in your ways. Amen.
We're now going to sing our last song, and then we're going to prepare to go over to the hall. Malcolm's going to play for us as we sing a song called God Sent His Son. They call him Jesus. Please stand if you're able to as we sing. He said, now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but to all who have longed for his appearing. And he said, the Lord be with your spirit. Grace be with you all. Amen. Now please join me over in the hall where we will finish off our service and we will give out the plants to the children and young people to pass on to their mums.